Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Roundtable Sports Podcast. I am your host, John Newman, and I don't have anybody with me to join me today on the podcast, but we have a lot to talk about. We've got plenty of news. We're going to talk a little bit about the UFC this past weekend, the UFC triple title headliner coming up this coming Saturday, the 5th, and we'll talk a little bit about the NFL moves that have been happening. J.J. Watt's going to the Arizona Cardinals, apparently, according to Twitter, according to him on his own Twitter. He is going to be going to the Arizona Cardinals, joining up with Chandler Jones, Johnny Bones Jones' brother. That should make for an elite pass rush, to be honest with you. If I'm Matthew Stafford with the Los Angeles Rams, Russell Wilson with the Seattle Seahawks, or Jimmy G, or whoever the hell they're going to put out there at quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, I'm shitting my britches right now. We are going to also talk about the ESPN Plus top 60 quarterbacks to graduate within the last 20 years in college football. So they did like a two-decade ranking, and we'll talk a little bit about that as well. I think they slided Tim Tebow. They definitely slided Tim Tebow. If Baker Mayfield is number one, then yeah, come on. But anyways, let's go ahead and get down to brass tacks here. The UFC event this past weekend, UFC Fight Night 186. It was not that eventful. There were not, you know, the insane finishes that we got the week before, but hey, that's the give and the take. Sometimes there's going to be a lot of finishes. Sometimes it's just going to be a dud. I will say I did kind of enjoy, you know, the drama of, either one of these guys can drop one another between Gagne and Rozenstrike in that main event, but Cyril Gane was able to 50-45 him. That's impressive, and especially only his eighth fight. Magomed Ankalaev was able to take out Nikita Krylov. Krylov's a veteran of the sport, but I just love to see these guys from Dagestan just go in there and just, you know, they seem like they have so much fun when they're in there doing their thing and you know, taking it one step at a time to one day become the champion. That's kind of the formula that they follow, and I could definitely see, you know, that light heavyweight division. Magomed Ankalaev, if he can continue to improve, he can get there someday. Women's flyweight division, Myra Bueno Silva and Montana De La Rosa had a majority draw. Jimmy Rivera took a lot of damage, took a lot of calf kicks, and was unable to do much against Pedro Munhoz, the younger fighter. Pedro looked really impressive to me. One of the things that I will take away from it, though, is that Jimmy Rivera is one tough son of a bitch. My guy Kevin Kroom, who I picked this past weekend, of course, I am going to be rooting for the guys from the guys and the chicks from Glory MMA and Fitness down the road. I'm a Kansas City guy, and that's our Kansas City, you know, they've never done any, I haven't ever heard of Glory MMA doing Kansas City bad in any ways. So, it sucked to see Alex Caceres get the best of him, but Caceres definitely deserved the win. I'm not going to sit here and be like Alexander Hernandez and act like I won a fight that I obviously lost. That one didn't make any sense to me. Sabina Mazo, I was pretty high on Mazo, that I actually bet on her. She couldn't get the job done against Alexis Davis, but just nothing to gripe about, in my opinion. Ronnie Lawrence able to knock out Vince Cachero. That was the only finish on the card. And then Dustin Jacoby defeated Maxim Grishin via unanimous decision, all 29-28s. Which will take us into next week's card, which should be very, very violent, very, very fun. We've got, of course, the headliner, John Blachowicz taking on Israel Adesanya, champion versus champion. Then you've got Amanda Nunes taking on Megan Anderson. Megan Anderson from New Zealand or Australia. I always mix up the two because their flags are so similar. One, and also the way they talk is pretty similar as well. But I'm sure I'll get some hate from across the pond from saying that. But Megan is training out of Glory MMA and Fitness here in Kansas City. So I will be, you know, pumping my chest a little bit, hoping and praying that that she's able to capture that title. But Nunez is a warrior, and nobody can take her for granted inside that cage, and that is just well known. We got Peter Yan taking on Aljamain Sterling. Aljamain Sterling is a guy who's kind of, you know, paced out the last few years of his career to where he only fought once last year and only fought two times the year prior. And he has, you know, been on quite the tear, defeating Corey Sandhagen. He got the rear naked choke against Sandhagen, defeated Jimmy Rivera and Pedro Munhoz, Cody Stammen, just to name those guys right there. And then I think Brett Johns also as well. But, you know, you look at his last few fights, you look at Peter Yan's last few fights, Yan's defeated Aldo, Faber, Rivera, John Dodson, and Douglas Silva de Andrade. So, you know, there's maybe Faber and Dodson are veteran names. Aldo, of course, veteran name. It's the guy who fought the contenders, and Aljamain Sterling, he fought a lot of the contenders coming up, and maybe not the the huge names. But Peter Yan fought the huge names, the gatekeepers, was able to beat him, and he became champion. So there's three title fights. It's gonna be you know, a historic night regardless for the UFC. Other than that, we got Islam Makhachev taking on Drew Dober, and Thiago Santos taking on Aleksandr Rakic. Wow. That one should be bombs. That one should be bombs away in the light heavyweight division. Thiago Santos and Rakic. What else we got? We got Dominic Cruz coming out from behind that announcer's table and stepping up into the cage, taking on Casey Kenney. Song Yadong taking on Kyler Phillips. Joe Benavidez taking on Askar Askarov. I didn't even know that fight was on this card. Wow. That's kind of a banger right there. That's kind of a banger, if you ask me. You got the undefeated and Askar Askarov taking on, you know, Joe Benavidez, who has fought the who's who of the who's who's in this sport, in his division there, in the flyweight division. But, yeah. And then there's also early prelims that are going to have Tim Elliott on there taking on Jordan Espinosa. So, yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of good fights coming up this next weekend. I'm excited to see that. It's a no-bet weekend for me. It's as Clint from MMA, from Die Hard MMA says, it's a fireball and popcorn weekend for me. Other than that, I think I've touched on everything that I can touch on in the UFC without making a fool of myself. Some of the quarterback carousel and the quarterback situations going on in the NFL. I think we'll just kick that off real quick because I haven't said anything on the show yet about it. But Detroit traded Matt Stafford to the Los Angeles Rams for Jared Goff, a 2021 this year's third round pick, and then a 2022 and 23 first round pick. So the Rams are sacrificing a lot there, it looks like. But we don't know. I think those were conditional. Rams are all in on Matt Stafford, and the Lions are pretty much all in on building a team around Jared Goff. The Philadelphia Eagles have found a way to trade Carson Wentz, which we thought was going to be very, very hard for them to do. They are out a lot of money in doing so, But Carson Wentz will join the Indianapolis Colts, who sent the Eagles their 2021 third-round pick and a conditional second-round pick in 2022. This one is pretty meteoric for the market because guys that are labeled as with too big a contracts and all of this, we just saw one of them got traded. So there's that. Green Bay has started moving money around to keep two guys that they like at quarterback in Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. Kind of a Bill Belichick approach to having the future quarterback already on the roster and moving money for a Super Bowl 56 run. They need to draft smart and find some overachievers in free agency. And that's just basically what they've got to do. That's what I had for the NFL market moves. I haven't seen much else this week about guys getting cut or guys moving on. Mutually, this is the period when we start hearing some of those mutual departures start happening and whatnot. But to go to this list that I was just talking about with the college football 60 best quarterbacks, I thought it's a pretty solid list. It was done by Bill Connolly, and I think Bill really wrote some great notes about why he picked who he picked, where he picked him. Now for that list that's 60 names long, I'm not going to bore you all to death with all 60 of the names. I'm just going to throw out some of my interest points in, of this entire thing. I didn't know who Brad Banks was out of Iowa, but he was number two in Heisman voting, and one of his – he kind of was, Bill said, a one-hit wonder, a one-year wonder – there for Iowa, but he played under Kirk Ferentz in the first within the first few seasons. Kirk Ferentz was there, and he is listed as number 50 on this 60-man list. Behind him is Todd Reesing out of Kansas. There's some Jayhawk fans that'll listen to this thing. Not a whole lot, but there are some of them. Patrick Mahomes was 54, just ahead of Todd Reesing. But just behind Todd Reesing is Aaron Rodgers, Matt Barkley, Zach Wilson, projected to be top three quarterback in this next draft, Andy Dalton, still in the league to this day, that playing for the Cowboys, and then Kevin Kolb, who was kind of a bust for the Eagles and ended up playing for the Arizona Cardinals as well. 52 on this list is Joey Harrington. He brought Oregon to number two. Just ahead of him is Keenan Reynolds out of Navy. I'm happy to see that there. Keenan Reynolds was a guy that I enjoyed using on NCAA football, but oftentimes I hated playing against him even more because that was Tyler's go-to whenever we were playing on NCAA Football 14, the final edition before the NCAA and the NCAA police and EA decided that they were going to get the game off the market or whatever. I think Denard Robinson's ranked way too high, 47. I don't even know if he should be on the list, the amount of interceptions he threw. Kyle Trask from Florida, one of the younger guys on here is 45th, just behind Eli Manning and Brady Quinn. Talk about, you know, two, Brady Quinn a bust, and then Eli Manning, a guy coming out of Ole Miss who really is an NFL Hall of Famer. Byron Leftwich is 41st out of Marshall. I like to see that. Rand Yu, I like Marshall University as well. I liked Rakim Cato back in the day on the NCAA football video game. Now, there's Colt Brennan out of Hawaii. I remember him sitting at the same table as Chase Daniel, who is ranked number 33 on this list, for my Mizzou Tigers, of course. I actually just passed up Colin Klein. He was the god of third and manageable is basically the explanation that that Bill Connolly gave for putting Colin Klein at 38. Yeah. And that's just right behind Alex Smith, who had a very solid career at Utah and then, of course, went number one overall and was looked at as a bust for a while. And then he became the game manager type and he's made a successful career out of it, who I think I might have failed to mention has now officially parted ways with Washington. Washington cut him earlier today. Other young guys on here, we've got Justin Fields, ranked 27th, two spots ahead of Colin Kaepernick. I didn't really get a chance to watch Kaepernick in college. I don't think a lot of people did. I mean, he played at Utah State, I believe. But Justin Fields is just behind Big Ben Roethlisberger on this list and ahead of Rex Grossman, who had an incredible career at Florida, and Colin Kaepernick as well there from Utah State. So to see Justin Fields ranked that high, that's pretty nice to see. Pat White, one of my all-time favorite college quarterbacks. That West Virginia offense was so fun to watch with Steve Slayton and Pat White. And then, of course, you had Pat McAfee, the punter, and Pac-Man Jones on the kickoff team. Elite special teams and just a great all-around team to watch. I know I can't escape saying his name, Tua Tagovailoa, in the top 20. Phillip Rivers also is 20th. Tua is 19th. Andrew Luck is 18th. I think all of these guys that are in the top 25 are deserving of being in the top 25. Now, the ordering of it, that's kind of up to everyone else. I don't want to go off on every single name, but Matt Leinart, ranked just behind Jameis Winston. Sam Bradford, ranked ahead of Jameis Winston. Kellen Moore, 14. Johnny Manziel, 13. Colt McCoy, 12. Trevor Lawrence, 11. Robert Griffin III, 10th. Marcus Mariota, 9th. I think Robert Griffin III, I don't have the numbers. I wrote down, I literally copied the list because I know I'm unsubscribing from ESPN Plus. So I copied down the list so I could have it for forever on my little Da Vinci grid sheet here. Where was I? So Lamar Jackson, number 8 for the Baltimore Ravens, is number 8 on this list, just ahead of Marcus Mariota. Kyler Murray is 7th. Deshaun Watson is 6th. Joe Burrow is 5th. Tim Tebow is 4th. Should be 1st, in my opinion. Vince Young is 3rd. Cam Newton is 2nd. Baker Mayfield is 1st. Now, we were kind of having this discussion in this group that I was with that why the heck, like, Baker Mayfield must have paid to be number 1 on that list. I don't know. I don't know, guys. I would just rate Tim Tebow higher than Baker Mayfield in terms of a college career. I don't think you could have maybe, like, 2 national championships, 1 Heisman Trophy, I think a 3-time finalist for the Heisman Trophy, something like that. Just an incredible college career. Tim Tebow deserves to be, I think, number 1 on this list. I did say we would talk a little bit about some NFL draft prospects, so let's go ahead and get into that. Get into the big board. Of course, everybody's number 1 is Trevor Lawrence. Number 2, now I'm seeing either Justin Fields or Zach Wilson being listed. Both of those guys' names were on the top 60 list. I would say I would lean Justin Fields, in my opinion. The offensive tackle, Penei Sewell, or Penei, I don't know exactly how to pronounce his name. Offensive tackle out of Oregon, rated 4th. 5th is Jamar Chase. Micah Parsons, linebacker from Penn State. Jalen Waddle, wide receiver out of Alabama. Devontae Smith, the other receiver from Bama. And if I'm not mistaken, they also got corner. What's his name? Surtain Jr. Yeah, they got him as well. They have so many guys just projected to be just the next big things at the next level. So yeah, that's just a few names there. Who else we got? We got Caleb Farley, also Farley. Corner from Virginia Tech. Trey Lance. I didn't get to see North Dakota State play much football, but he's another quarterback that's on this list. Kyle Pitts, the tight end out of Florida. Now, that's an interesting ranking for a tight end. I really haven't looked at a whole lot of these guys. Azeez Ojulari out of Georgia now. Ojulari, I do remember seeing him play some. And then J.C. Horn from South Carolina. All right. So, yeah, there's a lot of guys I need to look at. 22nd by Pro Football Focus is Nick Bolton, the linebacker out of Mizzou. So that's pretty nice to see a Mizzou guy up there on the draft radar. But it's so early. I need to get somebody else in here to talk about the draft. You can't talk with yourself about, you know, prospects. Like, they're prospects. We got to, you know, have one believer and one non-believer and the guy to have it have the correct, you know, type of NFL draft show. Thank you guys for listening. If you guys stuck through it, if you guys could keep up with that list that I was rattling off, I was trying to just get it done. Put some more respect on Tim Tebow's name. Also, make sure you keep Tiger Woods in your thoughts and prayers. T's and P's out to Tiger Woods and everybody around him. I don't know if I already said that, but definitely need some thoughts and prayers out to him, because he is going to have a long recovery here from this single automobile accident that he was involved in, injuring, I think, both of his legs. So, yeah. Other than that, I didn't have anything else really to talk about. I didn't see who won the NASCAR race yesterday, so here it is. Bum, 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 bum. It was the Dixie Vodka 400, and William Byron and the 24 car ended up with the dub. Awesome. Love to see the Hendrick cars out there doing their thing, doing their thing. All right. That will be it. At Talk More Sports on Twitter. This has been John from Roundtable Sports. Peace. I'm out of here.